So one day in high school Spanish class, Señora Romero was lecturing on to us. And about two-thirds of the way back, kind of off to the side, Eric kind of surreptitiously looks around and sneaks a candy bar out of his bag. And he starts to eat it. And Señora Romero didn't miss that. ¿Qué tienes ahí? What do you have there? Eric said, Snickers. She asked, are you going to share your Snickers with everyone? So, so before anybody knew what was going on, he was tossing Snickers around the room. Now, you're kind of probably getting used to product placement in movies and TV shows. So, if you find it not helpful that I just threw a Snickers at you, that's okay. You know, maybe after you leave tonight, you can give it to somebody. Or you're welcome to throw it back at me. So, with that starting point on the topic of generosity, firmly planted on the relative face of truth in our practice, compare the generosity of giving like that with what Roshi Joan Halifax and Jan Chosen Bays refer to as the gift of no fear. That's a little easier to see from both a relative and an absolute perspective. This is the no fear invoked by the Prajnaparamita, as mentioned in the Heart Sutra that we just chanted. First, what would it be like to experience that no fear? And then imagine having the generosity to give that to someone else. But Dana Paramita, the perfection from the absolute face of practice, doesn't have to be so grand. Dogen talks about giving away a blade of grass. That's generosity intimate with the emptiness of distinguishing between self and other. With looking at somebody and feeling, that's me. I just have to be generous because I want to give them, because I want to give me, because there really isn't a difference. So as Tim kind of started going into last week, there are six practices for bodhisattvas to engage on in the path, the six perfections or six paramitas. And so, or it could be 10, but I'm sure somebody else will get into that another night. So the first of the six is often listed as generosity. Now, what's the difference between generosity and the perfection of generosity. In our meal chant for Oriyoki, we chant, "Now we set out Buddha's bowls." Join me if you know. "May we with all beings realize the emptiness of the three wheels, giver, receiver, and gift." And that's it. There's the difference between generosity and the perfection of generosity. Realizing ourselves in the giver, the receiver, and the gift. Let's explore a few stories from the Hidden Lamp. The first one I wasn't going to do, but just for fun. So this is a story of the Pang family, which is a popular series of stories in China about a group of lay people who seem to live in an enlightened way. In the 8th century China, one day, Layman Pang and his daughter Ling Xiao were out selling bamboo baskets. Coming down off a bridge, the layman stumbled and fell. When Ling Xiao saw this, she ran to her father's side and threw herself on the ground. "What are you doing?" cried the layman. "I saw you fall, so I'm helping," replied Ling Xiao. "Luckily, no one was looking," remarked the layman. And a couple of important paragraphs on Joan Sutherland's reflection on this. Ling Xiao's action obliterates the idea that there is a helper and a helped. Compassion isn't a commodity we deliver, but a commitment, according to Chan. To help liberate the intimacy already inherent in any situation. What is most intimate? The koan suggests that we ask. Usually the most intimate response to another's difficulty begins with the willingness not to flee. Fleeing can take the form of abandoning the situation, and it can also mean escaping into helping, into a whole constellation of ideas about what ought to happen. Intimacy is being willing to stay and accompany and listen, to be vulnerable and surprised and flexible. It's a willingness to fall with someone else and see what becomes possible when we do. Layman Pang's final remark does not mean that he's worried about some third person seeing and judging the event. The one who fortunately isn't looking is ourselves. That is, our inner tendency to monitor and pass judgment, distancing us from our interactions even as they're happening. And then another one. The nun Fa Zhang often shared her clothing and food, giving the best to nun Huisu. The other nuns admonished Fa Zhang, saying, "The nun Huisu is uncultivated and inarticulate. When she wanted to study meditation, no one would give her instruction because she is the worst of idiots. Why don't you sow the seeds of generosity in a more spiritually worthy field?" Fa Zhang responded, "One would have to be a saint to know the spiritual accomplishments of the recipient of donations. I am a very ordinary person, so I would rather do it this way." Of course, it turned out well, and Huisu turned out to have a very strong and deep meditation practice. And real briefly, a reflection from Misa Shunjin Merrill. Fajang's story is everyone's story. How do we sincerely practice the paramita, or perfection of generosity, without falling into dualistic thinking? Our usual understanding of generosity is that there is one who gives things, materials, time, energy, and one who receives them. In the creation of giver and receiver, however, we are already lost in delusion, misunderstanding the fundamental nature of generosity, ending separation between self and other. One resource we have for a deeper study of the paramitas is Robert Aiken's book, The Practice of Perfection. A sentence in that that really struck me was, "The ordinary way of receiving, in order to receive even more, becomes transformed into a way of sustaining the self in order to practice the Buddha's wisdom and compassion." We don't stop receiving, which is something that's challenging for me personally, but we'll keep working on being able to receive. Robert Aiken also references a koan. A monk asked Hui Hai, "By what means can the gateway of our school be entered?" Hui Hai said, "By means of the Dana Paramita." The monk said, "According to the Buddha, the Bodhisattva path consists of 6 paramitas. Why have you mentioned only one? Please explain why this one alone provides a sufficient means for us to enter." Hui Hai said, "Deluded people fail to understand that the other 5 all proceed from the Dana Paramita, and that by its practice, all the others are fulfilled." The monk asked, "Why is it called the Dana Paramita?" Hui Hai said, "Dana," which we know to mean giving, Hui Hai said, "Dana means relinquishment." The monk asked, "Relinquishment of what?" Hui Hai said, "Relinquishment of the delusion of the dualism of opposites, and which means relinquishment of ideas as to the dual nature of good and bad, being and non-being, void and non-void." Giving up, relinquishing the relative and the absolute. Maybe I should just stop talking about him already, right? In studying Shantideva for the past couple of months, we've usually opened with the verse from chapter 3, may I be a guard for those who are protectorless, a guide for those who journey on the road, for those who wish to go across the water, may I be a boat, a raft, a bridge. Or if we look back a couple of chapters in Shantideva to his confession, he says, "I make a perfect offering. I offer every fruit and flower, every kind of healing draft, and all the precious gems the world contains with all pure waters of refreshment. Every mountain rod of precious jewels, all sweet and lonely forest groves, the trees of paradise adorned with blossom, trees with branches bowed with perfect fruit." And he goes on to offer bathtubs and umbrellas and all kinds of stuff. How can you offer all that stuff just from where you are? Generosity on the biggest scale is not possible without the other 5 practices. But starting with generosity just giving it a try, the other practices follow. The other night, Diane and I were watching a show that was set in Portland. In the show, it was raining hard, pouring down. There was thunder and lightning, torrents of water. And the werewolves were getting soaked. Diane pointed out that this was unrealistic. Because here in the Pacific Northwest, we don't have thunder and lightning. Consider the huge amount of energy that it takes for rain to happen. First, you have a drop of water on the ground or in the ocean, which needs to be evaporated. If you have a pot of water on the stove, imagine how much water it takes to evaporate that. Now, when that drop later becomes rain and condenses out of the air, all that energy that it absorbed has to be released. So the water that it took to boil that pot equivalent of droplets then is released into the atmosphere. Moreover,
the energy.
Moreover, the drop starts out here on the ground, and after it evaporates, it still weighs the same, still has the same mass, but it's spread out, mixed in with the air. So all that mass has to go from down here up on the ground against gravity way up into the sky, which takes a lot more energy. So it makes it easy to understand how, in a single thunderstorm, more energy is released than all of the bombs dropped in all of the wars in human history, including Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And I suspect that even here in the Pacific Northwest, without the lightning energy release, that that's still the case. I'll get back to this in a few minutes. So let's take another detour with Samantabhadra to the Flower Ornament Sutra. We studied this with Chris a few months ago. Samantabhadra, this is an interesting quote. Samantabhadra teaches that wisdom only exists for the sake of putting it into practice. We might apply that to the Shantideva chapter we studied tonight too. That it is only good insofar as it benefits all living beings. So here are some verses from the Avatamsaka Sutra, chapter 4. Disciples of Buddha, such are the circumstances, numerous as dust motes in the seas of worlds, upon which the existence of the seas of worlds is based. Throughout the 10 directions of space, all lands and countries are spread by the aid of the thus come one's spiritual power. They appear and become visible to all. There are lands. There are lands ornamented with mani wood, shaped like flower lamps, spread out everywhere. Clouds of blazing, fragrant light provide a radiant net-like cover of exquisite jewels. This is how where all the seas of worlds are based in. Some seas of lands revolve like wheels, established by means of the Buddha's awesome spirit. They are filled with multitudes of bodhisattvas who constantly see endless expanses of jewels. Some worlds dwell balanced on jeweled trees, other worlds amid dazzling clouds of incense. Some are submersed in great bodies of waters, while others float upon a Vajra ocean. Worlds may be long or short. There is limitless variety. Like turning wheels, their appearances are not the same. Rare in the world, this wondrous treasury of adornments is perceived through pure cultivation alone. Each mote of dust in every land, in thought after thought, displays all Buddha lands, infinite as the number of beings. So too, universal worthy, that's Samantabhadra's, deeds are always thus. The cycle of decay and extinction, formation and dwelling, occurs in the void without the slightest pause. All lands arise from vows of purity, sustained by karma's tremendous force. In our few minutes left, let's try a variation. Sorry, one brief notation first. Personally, reflecting on my own life and what generosity is in my own life, apart from the challenge with receiving, I see that on many days, after years of practice, I do a pretty good job of trying to meet each person I meet directly and intimately. But by mid-afternoon, I'm exhausted from trying to give each person I encounter full attention, full engagement. Now, this suggests that my efforts are still a little confused, because in the rare moments when there's a blurry, distant glimpse of the absolute, there is no effort to be found. So let's try a variation on an exercise introduced by Jan Chosen Bays, the co-abbot of Great Vow Monastery, which I find helpful in response to that. You might close your eyes. Imagine, following the breath, imagine the power in all creations. Imagine that energy flowing through you. The energy put off by all the warm bodies in this room, from the candles in this room. Feel the energy used to power the cars that we hear outside passing by. Be a part of the energy that drives the wind coming off of Bellingham Bay. I am not separate from this energy. You are not separate from this energy. It leaves and enters as a part of you and as a part of others. We talked about all the energy that's contained in the rain. Have you heard any rain today? Imagine the energy of all the freight trains in the world, all the volcanoes. Feel all of this energy available to you on the in-breath. And on the out-breath, give it away. Release into the cycle of giving and receiving. None of the energy sticks, but it's all there available. remembering from the Avatamsaka Sutra that the energy from this land is a field on a dust mote on a road in one of many seas of worlds. And all of that is available to us, passes through us, is not any different from us. And so we give it away. Now, go study how adding a smile to the energy passing through you to another is a step in giving the gift of no fear. May our intentions equally extend to every being and